Good morning. Yay. Yeah, it's an awesome privilege to be here today and yeah, so blessed just to bring the message of God. Yeah, so before I start, can we just close our eyes so that we can pray? Yeah, Lord God, Father, we just exalt your name. We lift up your name, Lord God, Father. Father, thank you that we can call on you, the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, Lord God, Father. Lord, we ask that you come, Lord, Holy Spirit, that you come and fill this place and change this atmosphere today. The breath of God, the Spirit of God, Holy Spirit, the Spirit of power, of love, and of a sound mind, the Spirit of ability, the Spirit of knowledge, the Spirit of wisdom. We pray now that you will come with the fury of your love, the extravagance of your love, and come and wash us with it. Let it flow us. Let it soak us, Lord God, Father. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. We thank you that we have him as the comforter and as our intercessor, as our helper. We welcome you, Holy Spirit, and we thank you that today you will come in with thunder and wind and fire and come and fill us anew with your power. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Okay, can we just have that clip?
You're all safe. It's good to see you again, Stephen. Matthew.
What form will it take? When will it come? Jesus said all we had to do is ask. I have been asking. Every day.
The Holy Spirit will come when the time is right. I think we should pray together. Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Speak those languages.
The Holy Spirit. He is with us.
Thank you, sir. So guess what I want to talk to you about today? The Holy Spirit. Yeah. It's a very, very broad topic and a very deep one, and it actually needs a lot more sessions than one session to speak about the Holy Spirit. I will try and plant a seed today, and we'll trust the Holy Spirit to come and water it and bring you through this week revelation, and as you go, as he prompts you to go and study this. Okay, can we have the next slide? So, who is the Holy Spirit? The Hebrew word for Holy Spirit is Ruach, which means wind or breath. And in John 14:26, we read, But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I told you. So who is the Holy Spirit? Can we have the next slide? Okay, so that is basically what we're going to cover today. The Holy Spirit is God. The Holy Spirit is a person. We're going to speak about the infilling and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And then, why do we need the Holy Spirit? So we say the Holy Spirit is God. So both the Old and the New Testament testifies about the divinity of the Holy Spirit. And that is not merely a force of God, but it is God himself. So in the Old Testament, God's Spirit was involved with the creation. And we read about that he gave utterance to the prophetic, and he filled the Lord's servants to be a help, to help him, or to help them. So in Genesis 1 verse 2, we read, "The earth was without form and void, and the darkness was over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters." And second scripture there is Zechariah 4 verse 6, "Then he said to me, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by my might nor by my power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts." So the Holy Spirit is God. And in the New Testament, we read about the Holy Spirit of God that knows all things, and he dwells in those who believe. And because he dwells in us, our bodies becomes the temple of God. Our bodies are the temple of God. 1 Corinthians 2 verse 10 to 11, we read, "These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For who knows a person's thought except the spirit of that person which is in him? So also no one comprehends the thought of God except the Spirit of God." And 1 Corinthians 3:16, "Do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you?" So yeah, we're going to cover a lot of scripture. There's a lot of more in the Bible that I'm not even touching on here. So it's just basically most of this is a summary. Each topic that I touch on is actually can be a sermon of its own. So the Holy Spirit is a person. The Holy Spirit is not an it. It is a person. The Bible makes a distinction between the Father and the Son as distinct persons, and the Holy Spirit is also a distinct person, making up the third person of the Trinity. And if you read the Bible, we can find attributes given to the Spirit that can only be given to a person, not an inanimate force. So we can read in Ephesians 4:30, "And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption." And we read in Romans, "He intercedes for us, groaning, prompting us to pray." Romans 8, verses 27, "He searches our hearts. He talks to us," Acts tell us. "He teaches us all things. He reminds us of Scripture." And that's the Scripture we just read as well, but the help of the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have told you. Okay, so now the next slide. the infilling and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Probably the infilling and the baptism of the Holy Spirit is one of those least understood topics in the Bible. Sometimes it's the infilling and the baptism are used as synonyms, but they are not. It's totally different topics. And I feel that many people miss the greater blessing of experiencing God because they believe that the salvation is the baptism, and that's all there is. So hopefully after today we can get into a greater depth with our intimacy with the Holy Spirit. So the Bible teaches us that we receive the Holy Spirit the moment we surrender our hearts to Christ. 1 Corinthians 6 verse 19, do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives with you, whom you have received from God? And 1 John 3, 9, no one born of God habitually practices sin, for God's nature abides in him. And Romans 8 verse 9 to 10, but you are not living the life of the flesh, you are living the life of the Spirit. If the Spirit of God dwells within you, but if anyone does not possess the Holy Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. That is hard words. That is very hard words. So every believer has got the Holy Spirit. The moment you accepted Christ, you received the Holy Spirit. So we read in John 20, verse 20 to 21, Jesus appeared to his disciples, and then Jesus said to them again, peace to you. Just as the Father sent me forth, so I am sending you. And having said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. Fortunately for us today, that was not all there was. Jesus told his disciples also that they must remain in Jerusalem for a life-changing event. We just watched the clip of that life-changing event. That was Pentecost, the upper room. So on the day of Pentecost, the power of the Holy Spirit fell upon the disciples. And after that day, that disciples would turn around the world for Christ. They turned the world upside down. That was the birth of the church, of the body of Christ. In Acts 2, we read, that day we saw the clip, and we read in Acts 1 verse 5 where Jesus also said that John baptized with water, but not many days from now you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And then Acts 2 verse 4, on that day of Pentecost in upper room, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit kept giving them clear and loud expression. So the baptism of the Holy Spirit was of such importance to Jesus that he told his disciples, remain in Jerusalem, do not go, wait until they were endued with the power of the Holy Spirit or the power from on high. You can go and read in Luke 24 verse 49. So to be endued comes from the Greek word enduo, which means literally to be clothed. So to be endued with the power of the Holy Spirit means that we are clothed with the power of the Holy Spirit. It's upon us, it is in us. And we read, this is such an awesome verse, what Paul says about the power of the Holy Spirit. Next slide. Romans 8 verse 11. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit that who dwells in you. That is a powerful verse. Paul says that today we as believers, we have the power of the Holy Spirit in us, the kingdom of God in us, the same power that resurrected Jesus from the dead. I don't know if you always understand what power we have and how easily we quench the power of the Holy Spirit. So, let's say Let's say this. The spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in me. Say it. The spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in me. So 2 Peter 3:9-12 teaches us that God does not want to see any of his children perish. He does not want to see any soul become lost. He wants to see everybody saved. He wants us to come into repentance, to live our life holy and pure, for he is holy and pure. And on the day of ascension, Jesus, we read this, Jesus promised that we will receive the Helper, the Holy Spirit. So that promise of Jesus is available to every believer, every believer. It is a guarantee of what is to come. We read in Acts 2:39. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are far off, as the Lord our God will call. There it is, the promise. It's for every one of us. It's not for a pastor only. It's not for a prophet only. It's not only for an elder. It's for everyone that has given his life to Jesus. Ephesians 1:13. In Jesus you also trusted after you heard the word of the truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. We are sealed. We are sealed. 2 Corinthians 1:20. For all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him amen, to the glory of God through us. Now he who established us with you in Christ and has anointed us is God, who also has sealed us and given us the Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. Now, I've been blessed in my life now. Last year was so profound. I've testified about this already. Although I was saved, I never lived in this power of the Holy Spirit. I'd sometimes even doubted if I had the Holy Spirit. I've been standing next to people where people got prayed for, and they around me, some people manifested with the power of the Holy Spirit, and I didn't feel any sensation. But it's not about feeling, it's about faith. And when I was in Sri Lanka, and even in our church here and in George, since then, since 2016, I've seen the Holy Spirit come with mighty signs and wonders and miracles, coming to touch people, to touch them in such a way that only he can, and God has got promised for us. That is the favor of God. That is his grace. So as we grow into this intimacy with the Holy Spirit, as we go and have our quiet time, quiet moments, and it's like if you want to watch a certain channel on TV, you have to tune to that channel. You have to switch to that channel. So in that quiet time, it's an exercise. You have to get on the same wavelength as the Holy Spirit. Be quiet. It's not always a loud voice. It's that inner prompting in your heart. So, and as you exercise this, God and the Holy Spirit will show up. He will speak to you. God has not made us the Dead Sea. We are not supposed to carry lifeless water. The word says that we have the river of living water in us, and we cannot contain it. We have to share it. We have to work with it. Which brings us to our next topic then. Why do we need the Holy Spirit? Now, there's a lot of benefits. If you go and read the Bible, there's so much. So again, I will only touch on a few. There's many spiritual benefits. There's many gifts that the Holy Spirit brings to us. The first one talks about the oil of joy. We cannot be spirit-filled and not have joy in our lives. And I know I've said that last time as well. Sometimes my heart needs to speak to my face, because I do have joy in my heart, but my face doesn't always show it. But we need to live that joy that the Holy Spirit is in us. So in Isaiah 61, verse 1 to 3, we read, The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to give them a beautiful headdress instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning. Through the Holy Spirit, we can enter into a higher dimension of praise. When we praise God and give thanks to Him, the Holy Spirit enters and He elevates that praise. We read in John 16, 13 to 14. However, when the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all truth, for He will not speak on His own, but He will speak what He hears, and He will declare to you what is to come. He will glorify me by taking from what is mine and disclosing it to you. That is elevation. Disclosing God to us, giving us a revelation about God's heart. And just one thing that I came across, so I never thought of it like this, but I think if you go and search the Bible also, that you will find many of these scriptures where there was praise to God, something supernatural happened after that. And that we read in Acts 16, 25 to 26. But about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns of praise to God, and the prisoners were listening to them, and suddenly there came a great earthquake, so that the foundation of the prison house was shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were unfastened. That is supernatural. That happened after praise. When we hear the Word of God, faith comes to us. The Word of God also teaches us that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So our faith gets lifted as we allow the Holy Spirit to bring revelation and to teach us in the Word of God. So the Holy Spirit assists us to pray in the Spirit. As we read in Jude 1:20, that is one of the reasons why you need Him. Sometimes there is necessity for prayer, which we do not understand, but the Holy Spirit understand. And He can pray on our behalf. So in Jude 1:20, we read, "But you, beloved, building yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost." Next, why we need the Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit purifies us. So we've read previous scripture where it said that if we have the Holy Spirit in us, we are not sinners anymore. It's not in our nature to sin, but there is always, we're not perfect. So we may have that backslide. We may sin, but that is where the Holy Spirit comes in, and immediately He convicts us. I don't know if you ever, I've experienced it a lot. Sometimes I had a real issue of temper in my life, and I got convicted many times. My wife always said that God will place the most ridiculous drivers in cars before me to test me. And that is true. He did. Then I think one of the reasons why we need the Holy Spirit is one of these, this reason is actually the best known, and that is the gifts of the Spirit. Needed for ministry, power evangelism, and those things. And God wants us to be informed about the Holy Spirit, and He wants us to live actively in the Holy Spirit, and He wants us to step out in faith and go and do what Jesus commanded us in the Great Commission. So we read in 1 Corinthians 12:7, "But to each one is given the manifestation of the Holy Spirit for the profit of all." Now, it says to each one, not the pastor, not the elders, not the disciples, not the prophets, not the elite, to each one. Each one has got the Holy Spirit, and each one is supposed to manifest the power of the Holy Spirit. For the profit of all, not for selfish reasons. So, this is something that also that as I grew in my walk with God, I came to realize that we're not this is our fleshly body, and we got the spirit and we got the mind, the soul, but we are not a body of flesh with a spirit. We are spirit in a body of flesh. And we were created for the purpose of God, not for our own purposes. We were created to express the presence of God and live His purpose. So we just saw that we are supposed to manifest the life and the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, manifest means clearly visible supernatural activity of the Holy Spirit. That is the power that we have. That is the power that resurrected Jesus. So we read that the Holy Spirit brings us gifts of the Spirit, and He distributes those gifts according to His will. So in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 8 to 11, we read, For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things. Again, those nine gifts are available to everyone, to every believer. Is it possible to exercise or operate in all those gifts? Or are those gifts just for a certain person? I believe that we can operate in all of those gifts. I believe that the Holy Spirit will give you that gift when it is needed in that time of ministry. And there's a reason also that I say this. If we go and look at Mark 16, verse 17 to 18, that is one of my favorite scriptures. That is such a powerful scripture. That is a promise that we can claim every day. And these signs will follow those who believe. Those who believe. I'm a believer. Yes, amen. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and the sick will recover. So, how does that connect with the gifts of the Holy Spirit? Cast out demons. So, to perform deliverance, we will need a gift of faith. We will need the spirit of discernment and the working of miracles. We will speak with new tongues. We will need the gift of tongues, and sometimes coinciding with that, the interpretation of tongues. We'll take up serpents. Now, that is to wrestle with the powers and the principalities of darkness. And for this, we will need words of knowledge. We will need, again, a spirit of discernment or a gift of discernment. We will need the gift of wisdom and a gift of prophecy. We will drink anything deadly, and if we drink anything deadly, we will not be harmed. That is a miracle. We will lay hands on the sick, and the sick will recover. You need words of knowledge coming to that. The gift of faith. The gift of healing. But also, what I've actually, as I was praying about this sermon again, and God just, I just thought of this as well, that you'll need the gift of miracles as well, because I've seen what we call creative miracles, where God restores limbs, organs that were damaged by cancer. That is creative miracles. Okay. Everybody with me? Everybody awake? Okay. Now, the infilling, what we discussed now was basically was the baptism. When you give your life to Jesus, you receive the Holy Spirit. That is baptism. Now we come to the infilling. It's not on there, so you'll have to write it down if you want to study it. Ephesians 5, verse 18 to 19, we read, "And do not be drunk with wine, which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit." Dissipation means wasted, coming to nothing, and we've all heard the term, be drunk in the Spirit. So, even though we are baptized, and get me, hear me clearly, that the Word of God does not teach us that there's more than one baptism. We only get baptized once. But there can be many times that we're filled with the Spirit. So that term, be filled, is often translated in Greek as keep on being filled. So that is continuous present tense. That is not having been filled or something like that. It's continuous present tense, ongoing process. And that being full has to do with allowing the Holy Spirit to be the dominating influence in our lives. It's not about us. It's not about the world. It's about Jesus. It's about allowing the Holy Spirit, the kingdom of God, to enter in us so that to hear that voice so that we can act to that commission of Jesus. Another couple of examples about the filling of the Holy Spirit. Paul prayed for the Colossians, and his prayer is related to being filled by or with the Holy Spirit. Colossians 1, 9, verse 9 to 10. "We do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will." That is the Holy Spirit coming, bringing revelation, bringing knowledge of the Word, revealing the heart of God to us. Acts 4, verse 8. "They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God with boldness." So, yeah, I believe that when we prepare for ministry or we pray for healing, it is a moment that we also pray for that filling of the Holy Spirit, just to bring that wisdom to us again, just renewing. I know that Fred, in Stellenbosch, he used to say that we need a top up. We need to top up fill our tank with the Spirit again. Acts 9, verse 17. "And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit." Again, there's joy as well. You cannot have the Holy Spirit and they do not have joy. So, disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. Again, also, if you continue with that, speaking boldly in the Lord. So that Holy Spirit that they filled with, the Holy Spirit brings them that wisdom, brings them boldness. I haven't given you a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. Yeah, actually this sermon went a bit faster than I thought it would. When I was working on it, it felt like it's going to last forever. Because there's so much that as you prepare and read through Scripture, there's so much that God is revealing to us, or to, you know, it's just awesome. The more you spend time, the more you learn. And what is so great is that there's no limit to the anointment. There's no limit where you grow and grow, and suddenly you've reached your peak, you've reached the roof. Every day there's opportunity to learn, to grow in God. Every day. It's endless. It's endless. Smith Wigglesworth. Who's heard of him? Yeah. I think if he lived today, man, the media would have had a field day with him. The way that he healed people. And I probably all read the one where he was healing a lady with stomach cancer, and he hit her in the stomach with the fist. And people criticized him of that and say, "How can you hit the person?" "No," he said, "I was hitting the devil. The person got in the way." Yeah, so, and he said that it was his personal, his challenge in life was, if from today to the next day he did not grow spiritually, He actually backslided. And if you go and think about it, it is true. If we did not grow, if we stagnate, we're backsliding. God has given us this powerful, powerful spirit. And most of the time we're quenching the Holy Spirit and not giving Him the time, not giving Him or allowing Him to minister to us what He needs to minister. I want to challenge you today. God didn't create us to lead an adequate Christian life. Adequacy is mediocrity. God wants us He wants us to have an intimate relationship with Him, to walk with Him, to communicate with Him. Everything that we do to go to Him and say, God, what do you think? We need to lean on Him. What does lean mean? Lean means with your whole weight, with everything. Everything you lean into God, you press in. And that is where the intimacy starts. The great characters of the Bible, David. Now, we all know David was quite a sinful guy. But Scripture teaches us that the Lord spoke of David as His beloved and the apple of my eye. And I think one of the main reasons for that is just the way that he praised God. Just his relationship with Him. Ziklag, where the enemy stole away the wives and the children and the livestock. And David and the people wanted to stone him. And David went to the Lord and he said, Lord, what must I do? Can I pursue? He didn't do it from his own strength. He went to the Lord. He sought advice. And the Lord said, pursue, overtake, and you will conquer. And he did that. And that is, I think that is, you know, he's an example for us. How we need to, even his wife, the daughter Saul, criticized him when they got the ark back and he was dancing in the street. But that is what God wants. He wants us to open up. He wants us to worship. Yeah, you know, just to have that relationship with Him without any shackles, without any pretense. He already knows our hearts. So I want to challenge you, live that life. There's more, there is so much more that we have, but we're not using it. Again, there's no such thing as an average Christian life. God has made the power of the Holy Spirit available to us. It's in us to be more than conquerors in Christ. Yeah. Since Friday, I had this. Oh, my wrist was so sore. I couldn't even properly handle a mouse at work. and it was just like that. It was there, and I became aware of it. Even if I had to drink water, it was very painful. And it persisted till about yesterday afternoon. And I said, as I prepared for my sermon as well, and going over through it, and I said, Lord, what is this about? What is this about? Are you trying to tell me something, Holy Spirit? Are you trying to tell me something? Is there somebody that I need to pray for that has arthritis? The moment I said that, boop, gone is my pain. So that is the Holy Spirit. And everybody here can go and minister to people. Everybody can go and pray for people for healing, for deliverance. That is what God wants.